Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I say every week, I'll remind you again that if you would ever desire any of our programs on CD, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, dear Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to gather around your word. And as we do, we ask that the Spirit of God would be free to instruct our hearts. Lord, if there be somebody that doesn't know Christ as Savior today that hears, Lord, we pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, bless this time in your word this morning, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Good to be with you today. If you have a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 16. We're talking about the bowl judgments. That's where we were last week. We looked at the bowl judgments that were recorded in Revelation chapter 16 and talked about how these will be the final judgments of the great tribulation, and they will be the most severe. These judgments will be poured out right before the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom. Jesus spoke of the severity of this time period in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, read as follows. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The time period for the bowl judgments will not extend over a long period of time. For if the bowl judgments lasted for a long period of time, no one would survive. No one would survive. So they will be very rapid in the way that they will fall. They will fall like hammer blows, and they will be in very rapid succession. We've already looked at five of the bowls in detail. I'll run back over them with you if I could. The first bowl judgment is the open sores that will come upon those that have received the mark of the beast. That is in Revelation 16, verse 1. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." So that's the first one. It is a open sore. It is a very painful sore that comes upon those that have received the mark of the beast. Bowl number two, the oceans will be turned to blood. That's in verse 3. "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." So you have here oceans turn to something that it says is as the blood of a dead man, thick and congealed, and all the aquatic life in the sea will die, which will take away much of the world's food supply. And there's already been famines before this in the tribulation, so we can only begin to imagine how devastating this will be. The third bowl, which really adds to all of this, is the fresh water turned to blood. That's in 16:4. It says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters." That would be the sources. "And they became blood." So here, just like back in Egypt, whenever the plagues came, the first plague, whenever the Nile was turned to blood, here all the fresh water supplies will be turned to blood. All the fresh water sources will be turned to blood. So those with the sores will not be able to clean the sores because there will be blood, and it'll just be a devastating time. Verses 5 through 7 talk about why these are righteous judgments. I'll read 5 through 7 of Revelation 16. It says, And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and of prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Somebody would say that these judgments are far too severe to come upon the face of the earth. But here's what you need to understand. Verse 6 says about those that have that receive these judgments. It says, For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. So God sent to these people those with the gospel, which would have saved their souls. But instead of receiving them and receiving the message of the gospel and repenting and turning to Christ, they killed those that carried the message to them. They killed the righteous that carried the life-saving, the soul-saving message to them. They will slaughter them in the tribulation period. Bowl number 4, the extreme heat. Watch verses 8 and 9. This is, by the way, this is real global warming. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon his son, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. So this bold judgment is not poured on the earth, but it's poured on the sun, and it increases the intensity of the sun's power to the point that it scorches men with fire. And it's interesting and alarming in verse 9 to read that those that are scorched with the great heat will blaspheme the name of God. They refuse to repent because their hearts have become harder and harder and harder. And here they are at this point now, this deep in the tribulation, seeing everything, the seals, the trumpets, and now four of the bowls, and they still will not repent. The bowl number 5 is darkness. Watch verses 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed. Here we go again. Blasphemed the name of God, blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So here is darkness that engulfs the entire kingdom of the Antichrist, and his kingdom's global, so I have to think that this will be a global darkness that will be so thick and so intense that it will actually cause pain. And these people will gnaw their tongues for pain, it says. That's the pain combined with the sores and with the scorching of the sun. And now you have the darkness. And now the tongues that have blasphemed God are now punished by these people themselves as they gnaw on their tongues. That brings us to bowl number 6, the Euphrates River dried up. Now, last week we started to look at this bowl judgment. Today I want us to see a little more detail about the judgment. Watch 12 through 16. Let me read it all and then we'll start to take this apart. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That is the sixth bowl judgment. There's one main point about this judgment that we briefly touched on last week that we need to look at just a little bit closer. And that is the purpose of the judgment. That's seen in verse 16. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This bowl judgment is for the purpose of gathering together the armies of the campaign of Armageddon. The kings of the east come from somewhere east of Israel. Not sure where, but somewhere east. I want to draw your attention to the means. Watch 13 and 14 now. Watch this. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. John sees three unclean spirits here. These are demons. They come out of the satanic trinity. One comes out of Satan, one comes out of the Antichrist, and one comes out of the false prophet. These three demons work miracles, and in their deception, they gather the kings of the earth and the armies together to battle. Now, I want you to listen to the words of our Lord about the deception of the great tribulation, because this is going to connect here. Matthew 24:24, Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now let us take a moment and consider the frogs. Why are the demons described as being like frogs? Watch verse 13 again. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon." Why the frogs? What's the significance behind that? To you and me, this would have little meaning, but to the Jew, it would be very significant. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 9 through 12. Listen to these verses. "These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters and in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, and of all that move in the waters, and of every any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you." So, frogs would be an abomination. Now listen to the words of Seiss on the frogs, and I quote, "They are the elect agents to awaken the world to the attempt to abolish God from the earth. And they are frog-like in that they come forth out of the quagmires of the universe, do their work amid the world's evening shadows, and creep and croak and defile and fill the ears of the nations with their noisy demonstrations, till they set all the kings and armies of the whole earth in enthusiastic commotion for the final crushing out of the Lamb and all his powers," unquote. These demonic spirits will whip the world into a frenzied hunger for war. These earth dwellers, that's the people, will be deceived into uniting with the kings of the earth to enter into their last and final battle. That's what's going to happen. These demonic spirits are going to whip the world into a frenzy. Let me read 13 and 14 again. Let me get you verse 14. "For they are the spirits of devils," demons, "working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." These demonic spirits cast great deception upon the entire world. They whip the world into a frenzy. These people sign up to join up with the kings of the earth, thinking that somehow, some way, they can destroy Israel, and that they can destroy the Lamb of God. Listen to, now, I want to take you in a different direction with this. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12. It says, "And then, after the rapture," that's what "and then" refers to, "shall that wicked," that's the Antichrist, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Now listen. "Because they because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there are Bible teachers today that believe the strong delusion which God sends will happen under the sixth bowl. What's going on right here? That's what they believe. When the kings and the armies of the world that follow in deception of the demonic spirits, they believe this is the deception right here. That this is the great deception that is listed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12. Verse 11 again in that passage says, for this cause, because they rejected the love of the truth, and that's who these people are. They are people that have rejected the love of the truth. They are in rebellion against God. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So, there's a really good possibility that the strong delusion that is listed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, is taking place right here. Because that's the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the tribulation period, not the church age. No, no, no. But the tribulation period. Watch Revelation 16, 16. And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. Here we see that he gathers them to battle. The he there points to God. That's who it points to. He gathers them to battle. He is the one who is in control. He is the one that has sent the strong delusion. So he allows these people to be deceived by the demonic spirits. Let me get you to an application. Last week I pointed out the danger of rejecting God and how you can believe you're doing what is right, but you're actually working against the kingdom of Jesus Christ, all the while you're still fulfilling God's purposes. These kings and these armies will believe that they're doing their will, but they're really fulfilling God's plan while they're under the deception of the demonic spirits. It's kind of a frightening thing that people can think that they are living for themselves while at the time they are actually walking in the deception of the demonic world being used to fulfill the plan of God. Listen to the words of Garland on this deception, and I quote, "This deception is so powerful that it is irresistible by those who lack God's protection by way of regeneration. No amount of sophistry, education, power, or wisdom will prove adequate to resist. The manipulation of the kings will be so complete that they themselves will think that they're following their own will, but it is the demons who drag them forward. Even then, every step has been determined by God," unquote. Let me share something that it's been recorded by Ezekiel concerning a battle that will take place after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, the Battle of Gog and Magog. This describes how God will deal with Gog. These words are very alarming. First of all, let me share with you the battle. The battle's in Revelation chapter 20, 7 through 9. Says, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire come down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Now, I want to take you to Ezekiel because I want you to see how this is going to transpire. Ezekiel 38, verse 4, verse 10, verse 16. "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen. all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. Even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days that I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. This is how God will deal with those who reject Jesus Christ in the kingdom. That's how he will deal with them. He will put hooks in their jaws and he will lead them. They will think that they are walking in their own will, but really they are being led by God because of their rebellion, because of the rejection of God's offer of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Very same thing right here in Revelation 16. They think they're walking in their will and joining up with these kings because that's their will. What they don't understand is that they're under strong delusion. They're under strong delusion. I want to go to something else, and that is a wake-up call that is tucked right in this text in front of us. Watch verse 15. Right in the middle of telling us about this sixth bowl judgment, this sixth vial that is poured out upon the earth in this gathering of the armies, right in the middle of it, verse 15, we read the words of Jesus. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." It's a wake-up call given right in the middle of the description of these bowl judgments. Many believe this is for the believers who will go through the bowl judgments. And Christ is exhorting them to watch and be ready. But I don't believe this is for the saints of the Great Tribulation period. They will be looking for his return in the midst of the bowl judgments. They're not going to be sleeping. They will not be gathered at the football games. They will not be on vacation. They will not be in a lake, in a boat. They're going to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. They will know the signs, and so while they will not know the very day, they will know that his return is ever so near. The believers of the Great Tribulation, I don't think they're going to get caught sleeping because of what's going on when Jesus returns. Now, I will say that there will be many unbelievers who will be surprised and caught off guard. Many unbelievers that will be surprised and caught off guard. Jesus talked about those in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 33 through 42. He says, "So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away." This, by the way, is not the rapture. This is at the end of the tribulation. And it's that he's using the scenery, the picture in Noah's day to communicate the point that there were people in Noah's day that were completely unprepared, and a flood came and swept away all the ungodly. That's what he's saying here. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away." It swept away the ungodly, not the righteous. "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Getting back to Revelation 16, 15, this warning right in the middle of these bowl judgments is a warning for us today concerning, I believe, the rapture. Let me connect what is said here with a few other verses. Remember who this letter is written to. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. So it's written to the churches. Listen to what Jesus says to the church at Sardis, Revelation 3:3. He says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee." Let me remind you of what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Then there are the words of Peter in 2 Peter 3:10. He says, "But of the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." These warnings are for today. Several times we're told that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This tells me that when Jesus returns, many in the church will be asleep, spiritually speaking. So therefore, we need to be ready. We need to be doing all we can, because as we live, every day we live, we are one day closer. Luke 21:34-35 say, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." We need to be ready. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, then you're not ready. You need to know Jesus, and you need to trust in him as your Savior. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And again, I will remind you that if you ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. And whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire, and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed day.